Are you ready for the Word of God here tonight? Oh, all right. We got one person over here. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so we're going to jump right in to the Scripture. Go with me over to John chapter 1. We were here last week. And tonight I'm going to call this message, Your Words Have Power. Your Words Have Power. Amen. Go to John chapter 1, or you could call it this way, the power of your words is actually how I listed it in the text message there today. Now, it's easy for us to believe that God's words have power. Is there anybody here tonight that you believe that God's words have power? But you know what, where people start to fall off when we get asked a question, do you believe that your words have power? And all of a sudden, we start to clam up a little bit, not so sure about that. But the Scripture tells us, you've heard this a lot over the last couple weeks, Proverbs 18:21. It says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Those that love it will eat the fruit thereof. Or literally, your words will produce fruit. And so when it says the power of the tongue, in that Scripture, it's not talking about God's words. It's talking about our words. Our words can produce death, but the good news is our words can produce life. Amen. And we're going to focus on the life that our words can produce. Amen. I'm going to say something right off the top here tonight that may come across very shocking. It might just downright make somebody mad. It might offend you. You know, it might even tick you off to the point where you just decide that you don't want to come back to this church. Because something like this could stir somebody up, but I'm going to say it because it's true. Now, hear me out. Don't judge me before I'm done, right? God's Word, as it sits in book form, God's Word, as it's, you know, maybe there, right there in your seat with you, God's Word, as it sits, or all on its own, is powerless and will do no good for anybody or anything on its own. God's Word, right? Even as it is read, we can read God's Word, and just because we read it does not mean that it has power, does not mean that it changes anybody or anything, just because we read God's Word. Are you here? God's Word all alone, all right, as it sits, maybe in book form or however you have it, you know, right there on its own, does not do any good or produce any power to change anything or anybody. Here is a shocking truth that, again, may upset a lot of people. The truth is, in the days and times that you and I live in, there are a lot of powerless Bible readers. There's a lot of powerless Bible readers. Folks, I'm here to tell you it's completely possible to read the Bible and still be deceived, befuddled, confused, downtrodden, without victory, complaining, defeated, depressed, feeling crushed, all those things. It is completely possible to read your Bible and still have the devil, you know, run over your life. Oh boy, that's not fun to hear. Folks, we got to remember there are at least 5 principles given to us in the Word to make sure that the Word is effective and produces power. Amen. Folks, how many of you know, so many times we're waiting for God. You know, it feels like we're waiting for God to do something. We're, you know, waiting for Him to make a move. I'm here to tell you that in Christ, it is 100% a finished work. Jesus has done everything that He's ever going to do. It is not the church's part, you know, meaning believers' part, to just wait for God to do something. It is our part to start working the Word. And if the Word is going to be effective, and if the Word of God is going to be powerful, we're going to have to put it to work. There are 5 principles that we're going to have to do if God's Word is going to be powerful in our life. Amen? Are you ready for those 5 things? I'll say them quickly, but I will repeat them, and so we'll talk about this for a minute before we get to John chapter 1 again. But the first thing that we've got to do, we've got to hear the Word of God, all right? We've got to believe the Word of God, secondly. Thirdly, we've got to receive the Word of God. I see some of you really writing frantically, I'm going to repeat this, you know, several times. So we've got to hear it. We've got to believe it. We've got to receive it. Fourth, we've got to speak it. And fifth, we've got to act on it. Those five things must be present in our lives for the Word of God to do anything. There's a lot of people that have read parts of the Bible and will end up in hell, right? It is not a matter of just reading the Bible does not save you, right? There's been a lot of Bibles that have been handed out, and praise God, we should keep handing them out, right? But there's been a lot of people, you know, that have a Bible in their home who don't know God. You know, there's a lot of people that have even read the scripture. I knew a man one time. I mean, he read the Bible cover to cover, you know, several times and still did not know God. Folks, it's not just a matter of reading it. We've got to hear it. We've got to believe it. We've got to receive it. We've got to speak it. And we've got to act on it. If we are not acting on the Word of God in some parts of our lives, then that part of our life will have darkness associated with it. All right? Any area of life where we're not acting on the Word, that means darkness can just creep in. So real quickly, I'm just going to go over those again. Number one, hear it. What do we do to hear God's Word? Well, here we are in church. This is a great opportunity to hear God's Word. But you know what? Hearing God's Word shouldn't only be in church. Your own heart and your own ears need to hear God's Word from your own mouth. Amen. So many times Christians are not meditating in the Word of God. The word meditate, it means to repeat the Word back to yourself over and over again. I like to say it this way. The Word of God has got to become airborne. You know what I mean by that? Airborne. You know, there's things in the Word that we are taught. You know, I'm, you know, a Bible teacher. I will teach you some things in the Word. But there's also some things in the Word that have to be caught. Do you know what I mean? You know, and I know this is more of a negative illustration. And I don't mean it that way. But how many of you know, viruses and certain illnesses, you know, can, you know, be airborne and they are caught through, you know, airborne ways like that and so on. How many of you know that God's Word for a positive force can absolutely charge the atmosphere? You can catch faith by being around people that speak faith. You can catch faith in an atmosphere. Your home can be filled with faith because the Word of God goes airborne. You know what I mean? You know, it charges the atmosphere. It fills the room. It fills that place. Amen. The Word of God is meant to be heard. All right. Even if it starts with reading, at some point, your own heart and your own ears need to hear the Word of God spoken out of your own mouth. Amen. Are you here tonight? All right. We've got to hear it too. We've got to believe it. All right. Believe it. That means that we've got to agree with it and believe that it is truth. You know, that's what it means to believe, to agree in truth. All right. We got to believe that it's true. We know that it's true. But how many of you know just believing the Bible is true is not enough? Do you know that? It's not enough. I know a lot of people who don't believe in Christ. I mean, they have not called upon Christ, but they believe the Bible is true. You know, back in 2003, the Lord led me down to New York City. I just had started serving the Lord. I'd been serving the Lord for almost a couple of years at that point. And a friend of mine that I went to high school and college with, he called me out of the clear blue. I had not heard from him in well over a year or so. I had heard that he had moved to New York City, but I had lost touch with him. And then out of the clear blue, he gives me a call at like 2 o'clock in the morning one day and wakes me up. And I had that big old flip phone cell phone. How many of you had one of those big old flip phones? How many of you remember when those things came out? I mean, they looked like a military apparatus, you know? Those things were indestructible, though. They were. Anyway, so I get this call on my phone. It's my friend in New York City. And he said, Tim, I've heard that, you know, your life has changed. I heard you got into church. I heard, you know, that you're serving God and all this and that. He said, I've never known anything about the Lord. You know, his family never taught him, never brought him to church or anything like that. And so he was, you know, really confused, but he got real curious when he had heard about the changes in my life. And he said, could you come down to New York City and just tell me about the Lord? Just visit me for a couple of days. I had zero money to my name. Literally somebody that next day after I woke up and, you know, from that sleep there, someone walked up to me and gave me $150 out of the clear blue. And that was exactly the cost of a train ticket to get down to New York City. So I jumped on a train, got down there, took them to church over the weekend, you know, in this really good church in New York City, and walked through Central Park, walked all around Manhattan, just telling him everything I knew about God and Jesus and how to get saved. And, you know, he still hadn't accepted the Lord. And it was a few moments before I was getting on the train to go home. I asked him, and his name is Troy. And I said, Troy, you know, are you ready? Do you want to make Jesus your Lord and Savior? And he said, no, I don't. I said, brother, you just said how much you love going to church. His words were verbatim to me. He said, Tim, everything you've told me, I know it's true. But I don't want to commit my life to Christ. I said, why not? You know, and of course, he was a young man, and if things have changed in the meantime, that would be great. I hope so. I lost contact with him a little while back. And he said, well, I don't want to do that, because if I give my life to Jesus, I'm going to have to stop drinking alcohol, and I'm going to have to, you know, get rid of my pornography magazines. And I said, brother, I'm here to tell you. You start serving God, He will put something far greater in your life than beer and nudie mags ever gave to you. Do you understand? Like, brother, I'm not, you know, just give your life to Christ. Let Him perform that work, and you start serving Him, know Him. He said, no, 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 I know everything that you said is true. He said, the Bible is true, but still rejected Christ. And if I hope something has changed between then and now, I don't know. But if nothing has changed, that man is lost. And hope we pray that laborers come across his path, right? Amen. So how many of you know just believing that the Bible is true is not enough? I know a lot of people that believe the Bible is true, but they're still captured in their sins. We got to hear the word. We got to believe it. Thirdly, we've got to receive the word of God. Amen. The word receive, it means to take to yourself personally. Remember we talked about this last week? We've got to take it unto ourselves or join ourselves to it. Or that word, you know, that we talked about last week, it means to make the word your companion. So we got to hear it, we've got to believe it, we've got to receive it, and then we've got to speak it. Amen? How many of you know we're called to speak God's word? You say, well, pastor, I don't preach from a pulpit like you do. No, you're supposed to speak God's word in your home. You're supposed to speak God's word over your kids. You're supposed to speak God's word over maybe, you know, your body. We're supposed to speak God's word over our friends and family who do not know Jesus Christ. We need to start speaking. You know, again, so many of God's people, they're waiting for God to do something. God's waiting for us to say something according to His word. And then fifth and finally, how many of you know we've got to act on it? We've got to obey the word no matter what it costs us. You got to obey the word and act on it no matter what it costs you. What if obeying God's word cost you money? What if obeying God's word cost you a friendship? What if obeying God's word, you know, brings criticism from other people? Or what if obeying God's word cost you a job? I'd say to anybody, obey God's word no matter what it costs you, because that's when the power of God is going to work in your life. I say it all the time. God's power is on the other side of some really tough decisions. You know, when you have to make a tough decision to put God first, that's when His power is going to be active in your life. Amen. Have you found John chapter 1? All right. One of you have. Wonderful. Praise the Lord. Go to John chapter 1 and let's read again. We were in these verses last week. Let's read again the first five verses. John says this by the Holy Ghost. He says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Notice God and His Word are one, right? God's Word is eternal. That's what it means in the beginning. It doesn't mean that God had a start, all right? It just means in the eternal past, there was the Word, and the Word was with God, and God and His Word are one. It says, and the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Notice the word is called a him, because we showed you last week that Jesus Christ is called the Word of God. All things were made by Jesus, and without him the Word was not anything made that was made. And it says, in him was life. Everyone say life. Life. And the life was the light of men, and the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Go to verse 3, and let's just start there again. We're just going to kind of pick up where we were last week, and we're going to take it a little bit further here. Tonight, we're talking about your words have power. Your words have power. Now, notice in verse 3, it says, all things were made by the Word, and without the Word was not anything made that was made. Folks, this is something that we're going to start right here. We've got to remember this truth. The Word makes things. All right? God's Word makes things. Or we're going to add one more word to this because we see it in this passage. God's Word makes things change. God's Word makes things change. We know that because in verse 5 it says, you know, the light shines in the darkness and the darkness cannot comprehend it. So just like light changes the appearance of a room, right? Or takes the darkness out of it. All right, God's Word makes things, and God's Word makes things change. If God is going to bring something brand new into your life, it's got to begin with the Word of God. If he's going to create something in your life, it's got to start with God's Word. If he's going to change something in your life, if he's going to change something in your mind, if he's going to change something in your body, it's got to start with the Word of God. Amen. God's Word makes things, and God's Word makes things change. He's not going to do anything separate from his Word. He's not going to change anything in your life until the Word of God gets into your heart and renews your mind. It all starts with the Word. Now go down to verse 4, and again, we're just kind of reviewing, but we're just going over this again. In him, now remember, him, God is the Word, so they are one. So we can say it this way, in the Word is what? Life, and the life is the light of men. I said this last week, in God's Word is perfect life. It only grows. It only provides. It only multiplies. You cannot depress God's Word. You cannot suppress God's Word. You cannot oppress God's Word. You cannot injure it. You cannot kill it. You cannot defeat it. You can't deflate it. You can't make it sad, and you can't make it afraid. Amen. And imagine what happens when a person is filled with God's Word. I'll tell you what, all those things we just said about God's Word will be true about us when we're filled with his Word. Doesn't mean we don't go through challenges. It doesn't mean that our body won't die someday, right? But we know that the Word is life. It only can grow. It can only, you know, produce good things. Amen. And notice that life is called what? The light of men. The word man or men there, it's not talking about the male gender. It's talking about people. Notice this. God's Word was designed to live in you and I. The life of God's Word is designed to live on the inside of us. We were designed to be carriers of the Word more so than angels, more so than any other creation, more so than any other being. Amen. Praise the Lord. You cannot make the Word afraid. You cannot kill it. Amen. Remember where it said over there in 1 Corinthians 15:44? No. 1 Corinthians 15:54. Remember that verse? It says, death is swallowed up by victory. Hallelujah. You cannot kill this eternal life that's living on the inside of you and I. You know, we've got to get a hold of this. We've got to know this. We've got to understand it. Amen. This is the light of man. Man is created to know this. God created us to understand this, to speak this, to obey this. Amen. and it will produce life in our life. Amen. Now, of course, in verse 5, it tells you that the word will produce change. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot apprehend. Remember, we studied this last week? The word comprehend, it means to lay hold of or apprehend somebody. The darkness cannot apprehend you. It cannot lay hold of you. It cannot catch up to you. I like that. I like that. The light shines in the darkness. That's where we are. We live in a very dark world, but the darkness cannot lay hold of you. It cannot defeat you. Amen. It cannot catch up to you. But notice that word produces change. It absolutely will produce change. Praise the Lord. That darkness is repelled. Here is the truth. Nothing is going to change on this earth until the Word of God gets into the human heart and the human heart starts to hear the Word, believe the Word, receive the Word, start speaking the Word, right? And start acting upon God's Word. Notice this, the light shines in darkness. That light is what? The light of men. God is not going to change anything on this earth apart from the Word getting into the human heart. Does everyone see that? God does not just wait until, doesn't just decide, you know what, randomly, I'm going to bless someone over here randomly. Oh, maybe I'll just do this over here. How many of you know He put that light inside us and now it's our part to do these things that we're speaking about? We've got to speak it. We've got to say it. Folks, if you are sitting there crying out for God to change something and we are not meditating and bringing the Word to Him, if we are not returning His Word to Him, there's nothing that He's going to do. There's nothing that He can do. Because everything that is made by what? The Word. The Word has got to make it. So many times I see believers, they're you know, wanting God to do something. They're hoping God is doing something. But they themselves aren't practicing, you know, what the Bible teaches about receiving and returning the Word. Oh boy, praise the Lord. Believers are waiting for the Word to operate randomly without them. It will never happen. God does not operate randomly without your participation. Are you here tonight? He doesn't just randomly do something. You know, it reminds me, I don't know why this came to mind, but I'm going to go with it. Are you ready? It's an older movie now, man. I mean, that's probably getting to be almost 20 years old. It was an animated movie, Pixar or something. I'm sure you've heard of it, called The Incredibles. How many of you remember the movie The Incredibles? I tell you what, there is a lot of wisdom in that movie if you will just listen. And there's this one part, you know, and the movie starts and, you know, Mr. Incredible, who was once this famous, you know, superhero, he was forced into hiding and he's retired and he's older and out of shape. Remember this? But yet he longs to get back to the glory days of being a superhero. How many of you remember that? And he's got this boring office job, and he pulls up in his little car, and it's this little rattle trap, and he gets out, and you know, and he's all, you know, just kind of bummed. You know, he's not happy with his life, and a little kid comes riding up on his little tricycle, and Mr. Incredible looks at the kid and says, "Kid, what are you waiting for?" And the little kid says, "I don't know, something amazing, I guess." And that is what came to me when I think about a lot of believers. Hey, what are you believing for? I don't know, something amazing, I guess. What are you speaking God's word about? I don't know, I'm just hoping God just does something amazing. God does not randomly just look and pick and choose. He is drawn. His word is Himself. And where His word is put on the scene is where God is going to act. Amen. Are you getting a hold of this? All right. Now, let me show you. How many of you remember last week I gave you some homework? James chapter 3. Let's go over there to James chapter 3 and let's start digging in a little bit further. Folks, I'm going to give you a heads up. I don't have a numbered list here tonight. I'm not going to give you number one, number two, number three, and all that. But there's going to be several points of truth that we're going to talk about. Go ahead, hook up to this, bring them home with you. Amen. Go to James chapter 3, and we're going to see this now. Hallelujah. This will change your life. If there's something you need to change, and you know, you need God to change in your life, go get the Word on that. The Word is the light. If there's healing that you need in your body, go get God's Word about healing in your body. You need financial situation? Go get God's Word on that. If you have an unsaved, beloved, you know, family member, go get God's Word. You know, where is that scripture? Acts 16, 30, 31. Remember? It says, you and your whole household shall be saved. There's the will of God. There is the power of God for your unsaved loved ones and friends right there. You know, if you need something to change, you got to go get God's Word on it and start bringing the light and the power, you know, by you speaking it. Remember, God's Word has got to be heard. It's got to be believed. It's got to be received. It's got to be spoken, and it must be acted upon. Go to James chapter 3 and go to verse 1. Praise the Lord. I'll tell you what, say, well, Pastor, I need, you know, some help in, you know, in the lives of my children, even my grown children, my adult children. Well, guess what? The scripture has a lot to say about that. All your children will be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children, right? You know, Psalm 127 says your children, you know, will tear down the enemy's gate, right? The Bible says in that same passage, it says your children are like arrows in the hands of a mighty warrior. Why not say that over your kids? Say, well, Pastor, I need help in our finances. We don't understand it. You know, things are you know, going tough and things like that. Well, I gave you a scripture earlier, Proverbs 10:22. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and he adds no sorrow to it. Folks, are you blessed here tonight? The Bible says that we are blessed. You are the seed of Abraham, regardless of how much money that you have. Amen. If it's depression or fear or anxiety, go get the Word of God on that subject and start speaking it. You say, well, Pastor, does that mean that, you know, I'm going to go stand up at the counter at Wegmans and, you know, shout it out? No. You don't get weird and flaky, right? If you are going up to Wegmans and, you know, jumping up on the counter and shouting things, just remember you don't go to this church, right? Right? Mention another church's name or something. Don't get weird and flaky, but I tell you what, we should act every day, get the Word of God airborne in our house. Speaking the Word. Go to, even if it's just you and God, speaking that Word back to Him. Oh, amen. And the Lord said that to me, and it's something I've done for years and years. He reminded us last week. He said, write it down. Write it down. You want to hear something really interesting? And I don't even know what it's for yet, but I just thought I'd throw it out there so we can, maybe it'll turn into something, maybe it won't. But the Holy Ghost keeps quoting me Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 9. Just keep saying that. He says, because, and that scripture says, because you have loved righteousness and hated iniquity, God, even your God, will anoint you with the oil of gladness above your fellows. Now that's speaking about Jesus, but guess who's the body of Jesus? We are, right? And the Holy Ghost just keeps saying, because you've loved righteousness and hated iniquity, he says, God, even your God, will anoint you with the oil of gladness above your fellows. Because you've loved righteousness. I don't know, I'm just, this verse. I took this verse. When the Holy Ghost starts saying something to you over and over, write it down. I have it written on my desk at home. I've just been quoting this verse all week. You know, somebody asked me this week, you know, just, this is maybe partly related. You know, someone asked me a question on the phone. They said, why are we on this? You know, this question, you know, was asked to me. They said, you know, Pastor, you know, I'm concerned about certain people, you know, people that, you know, may claim to be a Christian, but there's very little fruit in their life and things like that. How do you know? And of course, I said, first of all, it's not for us to judge. You know, you can't look at, we don't know. You will never know. All right. But that verse does tell us what will happen in the heart of a real believer. Because you love righteousness. You hate iniquity in yourself. That doesn't mean you're going out trying to pinpoint everybody else's problems. But within your heart, I love righteousness. I do not want any iniquity in my life. Therefore, God will anoint me with his gladness. God will make you glad when you decide that I want nothing of evil in my life. I'm not going to be 1 foot in and 1 foot out. At some point, we're going to have to jump with 2 feet in. Are you here tonight? But anyway, write God's word down. Bring it to Him. I've been saying that verse all week in my office at home. God's word is producing power. And you know what? Since He, you know, spoke it to me, I believe it's for other people, but I'm just going to claim it for myself while I'm at it. I just, hallelujah. Anyway, have you found James chapter 3? I haven't yet. I'm still not there in my Bible. There I am now. Praise the Lord. Are you ready for this? The word of God has got to be heard. It's got to be received, believed. It's got to be received. It's got to be spoken, right? Right? Praise the Lord. And it's got to be acted upon. Because you loved righteousness and hated iniquity, even your God will anoint you with the oil of gladness. Boy, that word just keeps coming to me. Amen. James 3, I almost feel like I can't even proceed now. You know, so if you wonder why, well, Pastor, you're loitering up there. I'm just making sure I'm not supposed to do something else by the Holy Ghost. We're good. We're ready to proceed. Subject to change. All right. James 3, 1. Now, we're going to go through several verses here. Let's start. I'm not going to read the whole passage all at once. Let's teach as we go. Are you ready? Teach as we go. James 3, 1. My brethren, be not many masters. Now, if you read a more modern translation, it said the word masters is the word teacher. My brethren, don't try to be teachers, knowing that teachers will receive the greater condemnation. And you're going to realize why he's saying this. Because as a teacher of the Word of God, you're always talking. You're always, you're responsible for doctrine. There's a lot of words involved. And look at the next verse, and this will start to help you to understand what he's talking about. For in many things we offend all. We make a lot of mistakes, even Bible teachers. It's impossible to talk as much as a Bible teacher does without making a mistake here and there. And he says, if you're not called to be a teacher of God's word, don't be one. Because then you will speak even more things that are not correct. And you will take you and a lot of other people in the wrong direction if you're not anointed as a Bible teacher. For in many things, Bible teachers can offend all. Bible teachers can make a lot of people mad. All right? And now he starts relating to all of us. If any man, not just a teacher, if anyone offends not in word or what they say, the same person is a perfect person, and able also to bridle the whole body. Now, when he was warning people about not being a Bible teacher if you're not called to be one, right? He says you don't want to put yourself in a place where you're going to say things that will take you and others in the wrong direction. You don't want to be judged if you're not called to be one. But then in that statement, he then says this, which is so amazing. He says, if a person can control their words and not offend anybody, the same is a perfect person. Do we have any perfect people here tonight? Now, don't let that word perfect trip you up. The word perfect in the Greek, it means mature or fully grown. He says if somebody will control their mouth and control their words, they will grow into a fully mature Christian, and they will be able to bridle or control their whole body. Wow. There's a lot going on here. Notice the word perfect again. Notice this. The scripture tells us, if you will control your words, you'll grow. You'll grow. Listen, none of us are perfect. But don't you want to grow in the Lord? Yes. Don't you want to become more mature? Yes. And the illustration here, listen, weeds. You know the weeds that you get out of your garden? Weeds that grow on the sidewalk? How many of you know dandelions and such? They grow fast, but they wither even faster. Yes. See, God is not growing weeds, so to speak. God is growing oak trees. Yes. You know what I mean? Yeah, that's who we are. You know, we don't grow fast and then wither even faster. we grow and we mature and we stand the test of time. Amen. And the scripture says, if you want to grow as a believer, if you want to be fully grown and matured and possess the ability to control your whole body, you do it through controlling your words. If you will become an expert at controlling what you say, you will grow in God. Woo! Sounds a lot like Ephesians 4:29, right? Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. But that, can we bring that up? Brother, can you bring up Ephesians 4:29? But that which ministers grace to the edifying of those that hear it, I'm quoting a couple different translations, let no corrupt communication. The word corrupt means to decay. Your words, my words, can actually cause decay in our life. A wearing down. A wearing out. So many of God's people are unnecessarily tired because of the words they say. Holy Ghost has said that to me. They're tired because of their words, and they don't make the connection why they're so tired and so drained, because their words are tiring them out. Complaining will make you very tired and frustrated in this life. Praise the Lord. Oh, I hate my job. I'm not saying this for me, by the way. I love what God's called me to do. I'm saying, you know, it's like I can hear it, you know, in my heart. I hate, you know, people that say, I hate my job. I just hate this life. I hate what I have to do. I hate this. Can't stand that person. Can't stand what they're doing. Can't stand them. That is so tiring. It is tiring. That corrupt communication will make you tired. It starts to wear you down and wear you out. Having, you know, like problems with other people, being upset at people all the time, it's tiring. Who could keep up with all that? You know? Hello? It's tiring. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. That word edifying means to build them up. That it may what? Minister grace to the hearers. Notice your words can minister grace to somebody. Hallelujah. You might just say the very thing that's going to get them to that next day. The grace on your words might be exactly what they needed to have the strength to make it one more day. Hallelujah. Verse 30. This verse is so heavy to me. I wasn't planning on going to these scriptures. Actually, much of this sermon has not gone as planned, which hopefully is a good thing. Can you bring up the next verse? Verse 30, and it says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. What does that tell us? The Holy Ghost is sitting there listening. What are they saying? Now, is the Holy Ghost sitting there trying to just nitpick every fault of ours? No. He's sitting there looking at our words saying, what can I use? What can I use? What can I get on board with? What can I jump in and get involved because of what they're saying? Folks, I'm not here to just tell you the Holy Ghost isn't the only one that can get a hold of your words and help you. That's right. Someone just said angels. Angels are listening. You know the scripture? Where is that? Someone, you're going to help me. Daniel chapter 9 or 10. You don't need to bring it up. Is it 10? Remember back there in the later chapters, what is there, 12 chapters in the book of Daniel? I think it's over there in Daniel chapter 10. Remember Daniel was fasting and praying for 21 days, and all of a sudden an angel showed up, and the first words out of that angel's mouth is, I have come for your words. I have come because your words. I am here to help you, and remember what he said, that angel said, but the prince of Persia wrestled with me? Meaning there was some kind of battle going on in the spiritual realm, but the angel said, I got here, I have come because your words, I'm here for your words. And he assisted, there it is. That's Daniel 10:12, if you want to look at that later. The Holy Ghost is looking to work with our words. Angels are looking to work with our words. But we're sitting here, and I say to you, I'm not indicting you personally or myself personally. Listen, I know when I've been real diligent with this, and I know when I haven't been. All right? We all of a sudden find ourselves letting these things tail off. That's all right. Pick it back up. Jump back in, right? Amen. Glory to God. And start speaking words that minister grace. Go back to James 3:2. The Holy Ghost is saying, what can I work with? The Holy Ghost is either in the game because of your words or out of the game. Don't keep the Holy Ghost on the sidelines. He is grieved. The word says that he is saddened if he hears us speaking something that does not minister grace. Oh, goodness. When I hear that verse, I don't know about you, I start thinking about, said something that didn't minister grace. Remember, the Bible says if you want to grow into maturity, the more you control your words, the more God can use you. The stronger you will be, the more you'll grow up. And see, when you grow in God, the less easily you are moved. Folks, I don't know about you. The devil can't move me. I refuse to let him move me. But he'll be able to move me if my words are wrong. I'll tell you what, people say, well, what are you saying, Pastor? It means I just don't swear? Well, I mean, that's the beginning. You know, and I think there's people in here, you can relate to this. I mean, when I got saved, I was a sailor. And I talk like a sailor. You know, I don't think, well, anyway, we don't need to go into all that. You know, I had a very vulgar, profane mouth. And it became something that I had to work on. You know, because I didn't want to grieve the Holy Ghost. And thank God I've grown since then. None of us has grown probably as much as we should have. But praise God, this is how you grow. How many of you want to be Christ-like? Yes. Control your words. How many of you want to grow in God? Control your words. Do you want to be stronger, wiser? Control your whole body. See, people that talk right will have an easier time facing temptations. See, there's temptations that come to us. But if you're talking wrong all the time, it'll be easier to give in to that temptation. Folks, your words have the power to break addictions that are trying to be in your life. You know, I tell you what, the scripture says that we can control our whole body. Wouldn't that include your temper? You say, well, Pastor, I just can't get a hold of my temper. You would if you start talking to it. In Jesus' name, I'm not going to lose my temper. In Jesus' name, I'm not losing control. Right? How about get a word on it? Where is that? Proverbs 19, verse 19-ish? Don't test me because I'm probably wrong. Try me. Let's see if it's right. Proverbs 19:19. Is that it? A man of great anger shall suffer punishment. For if you deliver him, you must do it again. This is the Bible saying that if you don't get your wrath or your temper under control, you're going to receive a punishment, meaning you know what that word punishment in the Hebrew means? It means a reduction of funds. Literally, it'll cost you to lose your temper. Boy, it's getting quiet here all of a sudden. It can cost you your relationship with your wife or your husband. It could cost your relationship with your kids or your job. Someone who's always losing control, they will suffer punishment. And God says they got to go through that punishment because if you spare them that punishment, they're just going to have to keep going through it over and over. God's mercy allows a temper-filled person to be punished. Just like a good parent will have to punish a child. Because if you don't punish that child, they're just going to keep doing that same thing over and over. Boy, don't get me going on that. One time I wrote an article in the newspaper about disciplining kids. No article. I mean, every once in a while we get, I get letters in the mail from people in the community and, you know, between Erie and Jamestown or what have you. But when that article hit the newspaper, I was like, wow, look at all the fan mail. Oh, that article, I was out in public. It was actually in Jamestown. I had a woman walk right up to me after that article and said, are you the one that writes that article in the newspaper? And I was like, oh, can I just say no? No, you got to tell the truth. I said, and I know something is coming when they come up to me like that. And I said, yes, I am. You know, she said the Bible article. And I said, yes, I am. She says, you said in that article that I should watch over my kids who they hang out with. I said, yeah, you should. You should. She's like, what do you think? She said to me, what do you think I'm going to be, a police officer over my child? You might have to be at times. You understand. With grace and relationship mixed in. Don't misunderstand me. But anyway, what about addictions? What about wrath? What about temper? What about people who lose control? See, if you watch your words, you'll be able to control your temper. You know, the Bible says, be quick to hear, slow to speak. Slow to speak. Slow to anger. Right? Where is that verse? James chapter 1-ish, verse 19. Don't bring that up. Is that it? That's probably not it. I don't know. It's in James. Is it 1:19? James 1:19. Slow to speak, quick to listen, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. That's a word that you can speak over the temper in your life. You see how you take control? The power of your words. God is not going to leave his throne, come down to earth, and teach you how to control your temper. He's going to expect you to take his word, obey it, say it, believe it, receive it, say it, and act upon it. Amen? And then it's going to work a change. Go back to James 3:2. Say, Pastor, we're going through all of chapter 3 here? Oh, I haven't even begun to fight. Praise him. No, I'm just kidding. For if any man will not offend in his words, the same person is a perfect, mature, fully grown person who is able to control the temptations of their body, the attacks upon their body, the temper in their body, the desires of the flesh. Amen. Boy, I'll tell you what. So if you want to grow in God, if you want strength, control your words. If you want wisdom, control your words. If you want to grow and be stronger, control your words. Amen. Now go down to verse 3. We are fixing to close. Are you getting a hold of something out of this here tonight? Say, Pastor, I need a change in my life. Go find a scripture on it. Go find a verse on it. Listen, God told me today, he will let you cheat. He will let you cheat. I'm just kidding. He didn't tell you that. But go to Google if you have to. And Google Bible verses on healing. Just do it. Just do it, right? I mean, say, well, Pastor, I don't know where they are. Okay, well, we live in the 21st century. Go Google it then. I'm just going to be real practical. Because it'll probably take you hours and hours. Just go in there and get a list and start speaking them and memorizing and meditating and declaring it. Just make sure it's really the Bible. All right. Please make sure. All right. Amen. Praise the Lord. Look at verse 3. It says, behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths. Wow. That they, the horses, will obey us, and we can now turn about the whole body of the animal. Oh, I've ridden horses. Has anybody ever ridden a horse before? Okay. I grew up in a 900 square foot house. There was four of us kids, shared bedrooms, didn't have a whole lot of money or anything like this. But for some reason, my mother had this old broken down horse and precious animal. And he was just older. And she had this desire, like she thought, my kids are going to learn how to ride a horse, because she rode horses when she was a kid. You know, she grew up in the country, and so this horse was quite old by this point. And, you know, when I was a little kid, my mom even bought me one of those weird helmets. You ever seen, those weird riding helmets? They're like velvet with that little button on the top. I'm like, I want a motorcycle helmet. And I got on that motorcycle. I did get on a motorcycle. I spent a lot of time on a motorcycle. I got into motorcycles. I traded in the horse for a motorcycle, because when I'm on a motorcycle, I'm the only brain on it. That's what I don't want to, there can't be two brains here. So, she put me on a horse, when I was a real little kid. I'll be honest, it just scared the daylights out of me. Never wanted anything to do with it. And then later on in high school, I had a friend in high school who had horses, and they convinced me one time to get on this horse and take this big, long, you know, ride on this horse. Because I'm sitting on top of this was a huge horse, 1,000-pound animal or maybe more than that. And I'm thinking, you know, this is another brain on board here. There's another brain on board, and if there a truck goes by and this thing decides to go for a run, I'm not going to be able to stop it or anything. But notice in that horse's mouth is a tiny little bit. You know what the bit is? It's that piece of steel that goes into their mouth and in their teeth, and the reins are connected to each end, and if you need to turn that horse, you just pull that. You notice that horse is controlled by its mouth. See, the scripture is now telling you how you steer your life. Here is how you find direction or set the direction for your life. All right, and then verse 4, we're going to put these two verses together. Look at verse 4. Behold also the ships. Hey, we have the ships here tonight. There, behold the ships. That's awesome. Not Ralph and Becky ships, right? This is talking about a boat. Which also makes a lot of sense to me because I was once licensed to commercially operate a ship, all right? Behold also the ships, the boats, which though they be so great or big, these boats are driven of very fierce winds, yet they are turned about, they're steered with a very small helm or what we would call a rudder, all right? Wheresoever the governor, or that word governor means a pilot, whoever's piloting that vessel, wherever he wants. Notice these huge ships are you know, they're driven by fierce winds, you know, they're you know, cutting through huge waves and all these things, but they're steered, you know, by a very small part of the boat. The rudder is a very small part of the boat that's under the water that steers that boat. It makes up probably less than 5% of the total surface area of that boat, but yet it controls everywhere it goes. Look at the next words in verse 5. Look what it says, even so the tongue. So here's another truth that we have got to remember. Your mouth, meaning your words, are the steering mechanism for your life. Just like the bit in the horse's mouth, just like the rudder of a ship, and just like the steering wheel of a car, your words are setting your direction. Folks, so many times people think that where people ended up in life, God put them there. No, he didn't. Our words put us there. We got to make sure that we're not somewhere we're not supposed to be, right? We don't want to go in a misdirection. We don't want to end up in the wrong destination. Even so, the tongue is a little member. It boasts great things. Behold, what great matter a little fire it can, you know, what great matter a little fire can start. You know, every forest fire that claims hundreds of thousands of acres all started as a spark somewhere. But go back up to verses 3 and 4. Your words set the direction in your life. Your words are that bit in the horse's mouth. Your words are the rudder of the ship of your life. It is the steering wheel of your car. God is not randomly setting the direction of your life. Your words may be carrying you to places you don't want to go. Are you here? Now, go back down to verse 5, and we're going to end here. You say, really? Yeah, we're going to end here. At first, I thought I was doing really good, but then I realized I'm not really doing that good on time. I thought, I'm going to be a blessing tonight. Then I'm like, eh, I'm not really. James 3:5. The word is the blessing. That's right. Even so, the tongue is a little part of your body that boasts great things. Oh, boy. Behold, what great a matter a little fire can start. Now, when we look at verse 5, it's very easy to look at it in the negative sense. Like, it's easy to look at this verse and you think, well, behold, what great matter. It almost sounds like, behold, what a big problem your words can start. Yeah. Well, that's true. Huge problems can come from little words. Let me say that again. Huge problems start with little words. This is why I am super on, with raising my boys, I am super strict. Like if I, again, not in a weird, hateful way, and it doesn't mean my boys talk right all the time. I'm just saying, like, if I hear them, and it's not just like swearing, they know that. They know not to try that around me. But I mean, sometimes it'll be, complaining or something they say that it, certainly doesn't line up with the word. I'll say, don't say that. Don't say that. Like kids, sometimes, well, all of us, sometimes we'll say dumb things like, oh, I'm probably going to be the first one to get sick. Why would you say that? Oh, I'm going to probably die when I'm young. Stop saying that. Behold, what a big problem little words can start. But, you can look at this in the negative sense. Yeah, behold, what a great problem a little fire can start. But you know what? We've been told, we've seen in the Word that our words can produce life as well. Verse 5 isn't just about the negative. It's about the positive as well. Behold, what a great blessing little words can start. It can go both ways. Your words can start a great matter. Yeah, your words can burn your life down. But here's the good news. Your words can light your life up. Right? Amen. Praise the Lord. And so we don't have to look at this just in the negative. Glory to God. We could say it this way. Your words can start a great healing. See, didn't Jesus tell us over there? Can you bring up Mark 11:23 again? We looked at this last week. Again, I wasn't planning on teaching on this. But remember what Jesus said about believing the words that you say? See, we think we're only supposed to believe what God says. No, you got to believe what you say. For verily, Jesus says, I say to you that whosoever shall what? Say to this mountain. Notice God isn't saying to the mountain. The mountain represents something that is in your way, that is a hindrance, that's trying to harm you or whatever. He says, whosoever. Do we have any whosoevers in here? So this verse will work. Jesus said, if you will say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and if you shall not doubt in your heart, but if you will believe those things which you say, it shall come to pass, you will have whatsoever you say. It's talking about the one doing the speaking. See, we're waiting for God to move things out of our way. We're waiting for God to start the healing in our life. We're waiting for God to show up for our lost loved ones. Listen, He's already showed up. He took the light of His Word. He put it inside the vessel that is you and me. He gave us a voice of victory in life and told us to start believing it, receiving it, speaking it, and acting upon it so He can change the darkness. Listen, that light shines in the darkness. It's got to shine from you and I. Of course, God gets all the glory. Of course, it all starts with Him. But the point that I'm making is that God does not work separate from you and me. Are you here? Jesus said, you got to say to the mountain. Well, I thought God was going to move it. No, He's not. As far as He's concerned, He already moved it. He gave you the word and He said, you speak it. And believe those things which you say. See, we believe God's word has power. But then all of a sudden we stop believing that our words have power. You can start a great healing. Your words can help a soul into heaven. Your words can repel fear and depression. Your words can bring joy. Your words can start a mighty provision. Your words can lift discouragement off from others and yourself. Your words can lift depression off from yourself or from somebody else. Your words can cause angels to render service. Your words can cause the Holy Spirit to give you a revelation. You're going to have to say something. Your words are the direction of your life. As probably a million preachers have said it, we don't even know who said this first, but we all use it. Most preachers just claim it as their own, but I'm going to actually say it was somebody else because I wish I would have thought of it. But they say this, you are the prophet of your own future. Your words, God. What did Jesus say over there? Matthew chapter 12-ish, or is that 13? Try Matthew 12:34. Boy, I've been passing the test so far. Oh, yes. O generation of vipers, Jesus speaking to the Pharisees, not you and me. He says, Jesus says, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Whatever gets into your heart is going to come out of your mouth, right? But look at verse 35. We're going to read a few verses here. Jesus speaking, he says, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart brings forth good things. Yes. Remember, the word produces or makes things. Yes. Notice a good man brings out the treasure in his heart and it makes things. Yes. Notice it was the word of God in his heart that started to speak, and that's what made the things. Yes. Are you getting a hold of that? He says, an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil things. Look at verse 36. There's a verse I'm going to get to. But Jesus says to us, he says, every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. Every idle, the word idle means foolish. Human beings are going to stand before the Lord of Lords and say, tell me, we're going to look at everything you said. Why? Because God is not mocked, God is not blamed. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he reap. Look at verse 37. Jesus says, for by your words, everyone say words. By my words, by your words, you shall be justified, and by your words, you shall be condemned. Whoa. This is why James 3:2 says, if you want to be a grown man, a grown woman of God, you're going to grow by watching your words. They are everything to God. Why? Because the heavens and the earth were created with words. God said, God said, God said. Light was created by words. Matter was created by words. Time, space, all of it. The materials that make up our human body, it was created by words. Now you can see why God takes words so seriously. Folks, did you get any help here tonight? Amen. It'll actually absolutely change our lives. The power of your words. Yes, of course, in our words, we're just taking our words from his word. That's the reason why they have power. Can we just make that clear? Just so you know, I'm not saying you have a power separate from God. That is not what I'm saying. I'm saying God made you to carry the light of his word, so you will hear it, you will believe it, you will receive it, you will speak it, and you will act upon it. And then change starts happening. Praise the Lord. That's my message. I'm sticking to it. Let's go ahead and pray. Father God, we love you. We praise you. You are so faithful and good. Lord, you said that death and life are in the power of our words. Oh, Lord, you said that you're upholding all things by the words of your power. And so, Lord, we're going to have to get a hold of your words of power. Lord, you said what great things our words can start producing. What a great matter our words can produce. Our words can produce great healing. Our words can move souls into the kingdom. Our words can move great provision. Our words can lift depression and anxiety and fear. Because we speak your word. We hear your word. We believe your word. We receive your word. We speak your word. And we act upon your word. Father, if there be anything in my life where I'm not acting upon your word, please show me. Please show me. Like David said in Psalm 139, he said, if there be any wicked way in me, reveal it. That you would lead me in the way everlasting. Lord, if there be something, Lord, if I have grieved the Holy Ghost by my words, I want to know. Father, we just submit ourselves. Lord, you said that if someone is going to grow more mature in you, they'll control their words. Lord, I believe every single one of us will be working on this assignment until Jesus comes. Father, we thank you. Your word helps us. You strengthen us. If we have a need, Father, your word provides it all. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Because you have loved righteousness and hated iniquity, God, even your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above those around you. Father, we thank you. We praise you. We worship you. Father, you are just holy and good. Thank you that this word will just stick to our hearts. We'll be doers of it. With all eyes closed, every head bowed before we dismiss, I know I'm surrounded by a lot of Christians here tonight. But you know what? I don't know every single person. I mean, I've met every single person, but just in case, if you're here tonight and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, remember what the scripture says? Over there in Romans 10:9, it says that if we'll speak or declare with our mouth or with our words that Jesus is our Lord, is the Lord, and if we'll believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. Notice we can't get saved even without speaking words. Jesus said, by our words we'll be justified, or by our words we'll be condemned. If you're here tonight, you've never declared Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You've never personally gone to him, invited him into your heart, taken him as Lord and Savior. Eyes are closed, heads are bowed. If that's you here tonight, you say, Pastor, I want to be saved. I'm uncertain about my salvation. If you are uncertain in any way, all I'm going to do is ask you to lift your hand. And when I see your hand, I'll have you put it right back down. And then I'll lead the entire church in a prayer. And right there in your seat, you can confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior. This is between you and God. I'm not going to walk up to you. I'm not going to call you down front. I'm not going to make an usher go up to you or anything like that. But if that's you, could you lift your hand now, please? Is there anyone here within the sound of my voice that you've never made Jesus your Lord? I'm not surprised. I believe everybody has or has certainly had that opportunity. Is there anybody that you just be bold enough to put your hand up for 1 second and say, I need Jesus? I've never made him my Lord and Savior. Is that you? If so, God loves you. He's not mad at you. Father God, I don't see any hands. But Lord, if there's somebody within the sound of my voice, whether here or watching by live stream, that they've never made Jesus the Lord of their life, Father, I pray that they would not leave this earth until they do. Father, we bless you tonight. We glorify you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Did you get some help here tonight? Let's stand to our feet. Hey, don't forget, there are some refreshments over there. Hey, if you don't see me, you know, immediately after service, I do have a meeting with somebody after service. So if you don't see me over there in the fellowship hall, you'll know why. But let's give God all the praise and glory. Father, we just bless you tonight. Father, we glorify you. Thank you. Your word helps us. And Father, we just give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone shouted, amen. You are dismissed.